Surrender is all that I am, all that I have, and all that I ever hope to be. Nothing left. And you heard in the video, God can do more with your surrender than he can with your control. And that struck me so hard that I'm like, I couldn't get over it. So that's what I'm talking about today, is I'm talking about surrender. And as much as I wish I could have brought him here and done it, I actually was telling Pastor Leah, I don't think we're ready for that. Would have been different. So what is surrender? What is surrender? Surrender is to yield to the power, control, or possession of another upon compulsion or demand. And that is the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition. To yield to the power, control, or possession of another. Now, conversely, control is to have power over. So between those two words, they're not direct opposites, but if you have control, you're not surrendering. If you're surrendering, you have no control. And I preface that, I'm sorry, I don't preface it. I say that as we go into what we're talking about today. We're going to be in Luke 9, and it's one verse, Luke 9, 23. But what is surrender? Like, what does it look like to us nowadays? So you go online, you go to Google, and I'll tell you, half the problem with Google is you can't just type in a topic because then you get so many different things. You got to know what kind of the topic you're looking for. You got to know how to phrase the question. So you type in verses on surrender. There ain't a lot. But it kept bringing me back to Luke 9. Or it kept bringing me back to the same type of verse. And Luke 9, 23 says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." What does it mean to come after me? That's a phrase in the Greek that means to determine in your heart. So it's not necessarily a decision you make. It's I'm going to determine in my heart. Nothing will hold me back. So how do you determine in your heart? Well, Mark, Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart's deceitfully wicked. So the first step in fully surrendering is there's got to be salvation. There's got to be a repenting of the heart. You have to change. The heart has to change. So even this sheer determination, it's not just, you know, pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. It's not, well, God helps those who help themselves. It's God helps those who can't help themselves. Fully surrendered means I have nothing. The word deny. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. I thought this one was very interesting because the Greek means to forget oneself, lose sight of oneself and one's own interest. Now, here's the kicker. This particular word is only used 13 times in the Bible. Three times it's used in these mirror passages. You know, Matthew 16:24 and Mark 8:34 and then Luke 9:23. All of them say almost exactly the same thing. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's saying, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. But what about the other 10 times? These other 10 times, this word used to deny oneself, lose sight of oneself and one's own interest, is used of Peter denying Jesus. This is how we are to deny ourselves, is that same way that Peter denied Jesus, to where one of the points in time, he is calling down an oath, he's saying, bringing down a curse from heaven, saying, I swear I don't know that man. To deny oneself is to be unrecognizable to oneself. And if we are allowing God to change us, if we are allowing God to move in us, we will become unrecognizable to ourselves. But it starts with that determining in our heart, that making a decision to turn our lives over to Christ. And then he comes in and he changes our heart and he starts working and he starts moving. and we allow the light of God's word to shine in us, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. His cross. Now, probably a lot of us, I'd say probably 90% of us, have heard somebody preach on something like this. Well, we got to take up our cross. You know, we got to follow after Christ. That's wonderful. The problem is, Jesus is speaking to Jews who they didn't have the hindsight that we have, where the cross is this picture of salvation, like we hang it on the wall. A Jewish person would come in here and is like, why are you hanging an execution-style device on your wall? It was meant as an example to rebellers, to slaves, to say, if you do this, we will put you here. You know, some people were hung on crosses for days until they died. If you've ever studied the medical background of it, it's torture. You end up dying from drowning in your own fluids. It's terrible. So when Jesus says, take up your cross daily, that is what he's putting in these people's minds, is you need to be ready and willing to sacrifice your life on a cross as an example for others. The cross was not just a way of execution, but setting an example. If the judgment was simply death, there was much quicker ways. You know, the Jews had stoning. The Romans, they could just chop your head off. They were pretty good at that. The cross was designed to be a warning to others that this would happen if you followed in this person's footsteps. Take up his cross. This is voluntarily taking up my personal execution. I am willing to sacrifice my life. For teens, that's your social status. You run the risk of being canceled in today's culture. You know, if you're a Christian overseas, you run the risk of literally losing your life nowadays. And we all know that's coming to America pretty soon. Voluntarily grabbing onto their worldly execution, you will lose your social standing fully surrendered to God. Now, that's not going to say that God's not going to give you a platform to speak of. You know, you look at people like Franklin Graham or Billy Graham, who fully surrendered their lives. God gave them a platform. But God doesn't need your platform to do it. Daily. This is a one-and-done thing. I cannot simply deny myself on Sunday and then Monday think I'm good. It's got to be a daily thing. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's got to be every day. If I am fully surrendered, if I am looking at that, if I want that in my life, it's a daily thing. Follow me. Take up his cross daily and follow me. How do you know how to follow after Jesus Christ? God's word. I say it's simple, but knowing, being in youth group teaching, it's not as simple as we make it to be. And especially with what Charlie said, we are entering into the very first generation of none. When they are asked, well, what's your religious affiliation? They choose none. We like to think that we can still go out and have a conversation about God, but you can't. Because they'll define God differently than who we define God as. You know, and even with me growing up, that was going out. Jesus could have been the Mexican guy that cuts your grass. We can't assume these things any longer. So not only do we have to be following on a daily basis, but we invite others to follow along with us. Matthew 10:38 says, and whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Anyone who finds his life will lose it. And anyone who loses his life because of me will find it. Now, I want you to see these because they're almost mirror, but there's a distinct difference. Luke says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. But in Matthew, Whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He's not saying there's some middle ground that you can be on. Well, you can be half you can be half surrendered to me and, you know, half, you know, surrendered to the world. You can follow after me part-time, and it's okay. There's grace for that. Jesus is saying, no. If you are not sacrificing daily for me, if you are not fully surrendered to me, you're not worthy of me. You got no business being with me. He says it as more pointed. And it strikes us. It should strike us harder. Because I know for myself, a lot of times I would find myself as a lukewarm Christian, not fully surrendered. Which is why on Sunday when we had Jay Sanders preach, there was adults that went up who were saying, I have been living my life half at it. I have been having one foot in the world and one foot with Jesus. That's not what Jesus wants. He wants all of me. And that, yet again, that goes back to, you know, Luke. If any man will come after me, if any man will determine in his heart, if any man will choose me, I will come into his life and I will change his heart and he will follow after me. Luke 14. I know we're hopping around and there's a lot of hopping, and I'm sorry. Making sure you know your Bibles. Luke 14, verse 24 and 25. Nope, sorry, 25 to 33. Now great crowds were traveling with him. So he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own mother, his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, yet again, these are all mirror things. But this one says it a little bit differently. He says, if you're not willing to let go of everything, you cannot be my disciple. Following after God means being his disciple. Salvation means being a disciple. Why? Because there's a change in the heart. Our desires are changed. Our heart is changed, and we want to follow him. We want to know him more. We want to be in his word. Now, there's going to be dry times where maybe we're not getting as much as we could. I dare say if you're reading through the book of Numbers, that could be an issue. But God's word is fully inspired. Even those numbers can bring joy to our hearts. It brings historicity to God's word. I'm pretty sure I said that word completely wrong. It brings validity to God's word. Not that necessarily we need it here on a Sunday morning, but when you go out into the world and people are trying to dispute it, you can go back and show them the trail of people. You can go back and say, well, you're going to believe Josephus, who was a Jewish historian. You're going to believe, you know, Homer, who he was a poet. But this word, this Bible, has so many more manuscripts than any other piece of literature that we've ever had, and people still choose to deny it. It's not a matter of what's in here. It's a matter of their heart. We will never believe this. We will never be fully surrendered until we've allowed God to change our heart. Now, I can sit up here, and we can talk about what is surrender, give you definition after definition. But what is it? What good is it until you have something to look at? So I want you to go over to Daniel 3:16. So a little bit of a background. We have Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He has set up this golden statue of himself, and he's saying to everybody, it's time for you guys to bow down. Bow down and worship me. This is law. But here is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's response to him. I had it. 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of a blazing fire, and he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, We want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. Their response was, kill us, murder us, throw us into this fire, destroy everything about us. We don't care. We will not compromise. We will not surrender to you because we have been fully surrendered to God. God has changed our lives. He has changed our hearts. We are serving him. We desire to serve him. And we will never change that. There was a determination in their heart because there was a change in it. So obviously the response, Nebuchadnezzar's response was, well, you're not going to show me up. Threw him into the fiery furnace. This would be the equivalent of us losing our social status today. Maybe you'll lose your job fully surrendered to God. I dare say that's coming. Maybe, you know, the teens, they'll start putting out videos about God. People will stop following them. Maybe we'll say something accidentally on the live stream, and somebody will be deeply offended, and they'll stop watching it. You know, as long as what we're saying is the word of God, that's okay. Because we want to be a church that is fully surrendered to God. But that doesn't come from just Pastor Leo and I. That doesn't come from the deacons being, you know, fully surrendered. That comes from all of us making the decision today to do that. Turn back over to Matthew. Here's another example. Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verse 27. Jesus has been talking. He's been teaching. And the rich young ruler comes up to him and says, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus tells him all these different rules and regulations that you got to do. He's like, well, I've done these since I've been little. And then he says, well, go sell all your possessions and then give all that money to the poor. And he walks away because he's sad. Then Peter chimes up with this. Verse 19, 27. Then Peter responded to him, see, we have left everything and followed you. So what will there be for us? Surrendering means leaving everything behind. Forsaking everything else. Why? Because he's worth it. He's the one that, in our minds, in hindsight, we can look back at the cross. This is no longer an executioner's device. This is a symbol of hope. Of joy that we can have, that we can be reminded every Sunday morning, that we can be reminded every Wednesday evening, that there is life after death. But Mark, that's great. Those are awesome Bible people. What about Nate Saint, who died at the age of 32, having a young family, at the hands of the Haurani tribe that he was trying to reach? What about his friend Jim Elliott, who said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That's not even original to him. That's what Jesus said. If we choose to try to save our life, we will lose it. But ultimately, if we give up our life, if we surrender, we will find it. This is from the person, this is being said by the person who is the creator of life, who is the one who knit us together in our mother's womb, who said, the thief comes to steal and destroy, but I came to give you life and abundantly. Who wants you to have life? There's another person who decided to leave a thriving Christian radio network, who left warm and sunny Georgia to come to this small town of Penny in New York 20 years ago. And he sits right here. Young people, old people, surrender is not just something that's a Bible thing. There's people all around us that live it on a daily basis. So why don't we surrender? Why don't we? Maybe we're fearful. Maybe we're scared of, you know, being the next Nate Saint or Jim Elliott, who's going to be sent to Ecuador to reach some lost tribe of people. And, well, I'm going to be uncomfortable. Have Daniel forward you some of this stuff from Scott Phillips. Heck, go talk to him sometime. Where his whole family got malaria multiple times. Where his whole training center that we went down there to help him build is to help people adapt in the jungles. Maybe we're scared of what others will think. Oh, well, what will my boss think if I start carrying around a Bible? Or if I wear that t-shirt that says, y'all need Jesus? Okay, yeah, so what? So what if you get fired? Maybe, just maybe, somebody will see it, and that'll strike them. And they'll be like, I do need Jesus. I need him badly. 1 John 4:18, here's the response. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. The reason that we can be fully surrendered, even though we're fearful, is because I am loved. Summit Ministries is a place, I believe it's out in Arizona, that they answer these big questions. One of them being, am I loved? That this world desires answers for. Yeah, we can point to God's word and say, am I loved? Yeah, I'm loved. I know I'm loved. Am I acting like it? Am I acting like no matter what I do, no matter if how big of a failure I am at work, no matter how big of a failure I am at school, no matter how much of a loser I can be, I am loved. Not because of who I can be, but because of who God made me to be. This is why, especially with kids, identity is so important. Tell them who God designed them to be. Another reason why we might not surrender is pride. I don't want to give up control of my life. Response to that is Luke 12:25. Luke 12:25 says, Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? If then you're not able to do even a little thing, why worry about the rest? The scariest thing about control is when we begin to realize how little control we have over life. For all we know, when the furnace kicks on next, somebody put in, you know, arsenic into the filtration system and it's going to be pumping it out. Do we have any control of that? No. I mean, yeah, we can set up security cameras. We can do all those different things, and I'm not saying anybody did. But we have no control over that. Did you realize that the Earth rotates on exactly a 23.5-degree axis? And if it was any more or any less, we'd have a very different planet to live on? That if the planets in their orbit around the sun orbited any differently, we'd have a very different solar system. I believe it's actually Jupiter that, because of its huge pull on Earth, and we don't go flying into the sun. Do we have any control over that? Of course not. Do I even have control over what my kids say? He already said it. Are we done? I don't have any control over that. So to think that I have control over my life and I won't surrender it, it is silly. I can't add anything. I'm sure if some of us had control over it, we'd have more hair on our heads. But we don't. We don't have any control. But what about confusion? Maybe you can't surrender because you don't know who God is. Maybe I don't know what it means to surrender. Maybe nobody's in my life has ever shown me surrender. That's what makes Jay Sanders' testimony so amazing, is he didn't grow up in church. He had to go through all this junk and mire. And I'm pretty sure if we talked to him, he'd be like, I have scars from it. I didn't go through any of that. But what God gave grace to pull him out of, he gave grace to me to keep me from. I didn't have an awesome dad who taught me all these different things. He wasn't the godly father figure I wish I had had. But that doesn't mean I didn't learn surrender. I looked at my pastors. I looked at my youth leaders. I looked at people around me who I could tell were being blessed by God. 1 Corinthians 11:1, it is so simple. It says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Now, some of you might be like, well, that sounds certainly prideful. Are you saying we should follow you? No, of course not. Find somebody else. I'm a failure. We have some awesome deacons that I'm sure would love to be discipling people. We have some older men and older women who have incredible years of advice that they would love to pass on to you. Find someone whose life you can see is fully surrendered, because I guarantee you're only seeing the half of it. You're only seeing the half of it. You're only seeing what they've brought on Sunday morning. Watch them the rest of the week. Surrender is giving up all that I am, all that I have and I ever hope to be. When I deny myself, I deny those three things. I give up who I think I am, and I accept who God's made me. I give up all that I have, and I allow it for God's personal use. And then I give up all that I ever hope to be and desire God's will for my life. I seek Him first, because that is freedom. That is where joy can be found. That is where I can find true joy and abundant life, not having to try to be cool in the school, not trying to be, keeping up to date with the latest ministry trends. I do what God calls me to do, and that's it. I minister with the gifts He's given me where I'm at. If He hasn't put you up here, it's not because you don't belong up here. It's because He's given you something different. Charlie and I had wonderful conversation, and he would say, God's put me in a place where I can minister to youth. And not just that, he doesn't have to worry about, well, is this kid, a good kid or a bad kid? He's a resource officer. He's going to get bad kids, and he can minister to them. Some of you work in business buildings. Some of you have your own work. You're self-employed. Some of you are managers. Some of you are employees. Some of you work on farms. Some of you work with people you'll never meet. Some of you work with the same people every day. That's where God's put you. Surrender in that place. Allow Him to use you. I wish I could do it justice. But surrender is to yielding power over our life and control to another. You're going to yield to someone. You're going to surrender to someone. It might as well be the one who gave you life, who gives you breath to breathe. It might as well be Him, because there ain't nobody better. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You're worth more than any we could ever imagine. And Father, our lives are not enough to surrender to You. But Lord, that's what You call of us. You call us to deny ourselves. You call us to let go of all these worldly pleasures. You call us to give up so many things because You call us into a relationship with You. You call us into real joy. You call us to real life, not these temporary things that this world offers. Lord, I know there's some in this place that have not fully surrendered. I know that there are some that have no desire to follow after You. And Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would work in those. But I pray for those what Your Spirit is already speaking. I pray for those who are struggling with the word surrender, that they do not want to give up control, or they're fearful. Father, I pray for that Your Spirit would move in them, that even now they would be speaking with You, that they would cry out to You for help. And Lord, there are some here that are listening, that maybe they don't have a relationship with You. Lord, I pray that they would do that today, that they would ask for Your forgiveness. They would admit that they're a sinner and ask that You would change their life, that they would cry out to You, that they would seek out others who know You. Lord, there are those that need an example. Lord, I pray that they would start looking around even now and desire others that will help them see what surrender really looks like, help them see what it means to know You as personal Lord and Savior. Father, I pray as we close this service, as we prepare to sing a last song, and then we go home for Sunday lunch, and we go about our week, that we would not forget that You've called us to a life of daily sacrifice, that You have called us to daily take up our cross, to love and desire you above all else, and to hate things in comparison. Father, I pray once again for your hand of blessing upon this place. And I pray all of these things in your name. Amen.